Chapter 27, I'll start reading at verse number 14. I'm going to read the whole chapter, read the rest of the chapter here, so you bear with me. This is a short pulpit, so if you see me leaned over, it's because I can't hardly see. But not long after, there arose again it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, upgirding the ship, and, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands and strike sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed and tempted, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast from anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as they would have cast anchors out to the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken and the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, all safe to land. Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, God, you would help me to help them this morning, Lord. Pray I'd be a blessing to them. Lord, I thank you so much for salvation, Lord, and save me out of that life of sin, Heavenly Father, Lord God. I pray you'll just help me for just a few minutes, Lord, and I'll praise you and give you all the honor and glory for it all, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 25, where he says, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You know, when you believe God, you will have hope in your heart. You'll have hope. As I lay hold to that hope of eternal life, I look forward to that blessed hope of the glorious appearing of my great God and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't only have hope in Christ in this present world, because it says we'd be of all men most miserable. I have hope in eternal life. My hope is not in the bottom of a liquor bottle, and it's not rolled up in a paper, and it's not in Donald Trump or CNN or NBC. My hope this morning is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been good to me throughout all my life. He's been good to me when I was unlovable. He was good to me when I didn't deserve it, and He's still been good to me. He's worked out a lot of things in my life here lately, but He's been good to me, and that's where all my hope lays, is Him. And then over there in verse number 22, He tells them, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." And that word cheer means to be joyous, to have joy. And I tell you what, when you believe God, you'll have joy in your heart. You sure will have joy. Salvation will bring joy to your heart. My kids go up to a babysitter most of the time when me and my wife work, and her husband and her, they was lost. Both of them was lost. But he's been on drugs his whole life. His whole life he's been on drugs and pills. And he tried to commit suicide about 6 weeks ago. And he was in the hospital on intensive care up there about to die. And I'd go up there and pray with him. I'd say, "Lord, please let him survive this. You get the glory out of it. And if he does, Lord, please save him. Please save him, Lord. Save him from that old lifestyle." And he come out of that coma. And he called me. He said, "Please come up here and get me and take me to church." And I went up there to get him. And you pull down at the gate. And he walked down. He walks down his sidewalk. And he was just about running down through there. I thought he was going to jump through the window of my truck just to get in there. He was ready to get up there to church. He was under conviction. The Lord had been dealing with him. He got up there, and Brother Tom started preaching, and he was sitting over there, and he was looking at me, and he was crying. He was looking at me. He was crying, and I just began to pray for him. "Lord, I was wanting to be under real Holy Ghost conviction. I wanted it to be real. I wanted to see him get John 3:3 born again." And when that service was over, he got up there and he got born again. And you talk about joy in his heart. I've never seen anybody with so much joy in their heart until they get saved. And when they do, they act like a little school kid in love again. That's right. They have so much joy in their heart. And then not only will you have joy in your heart, but most of the time whenever you believe God, you won't suffer no harm. Over there in verse 22, he says, "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep." He had done told him, "You're not going to lose your life. You're going to go through what you're going through, but you're not going to suffer any harm." And most of the time when you believe God, you won't suffer any harm. But the message I want to preach this morning, just because you believe God, just because you've been born again and you go to church, that doesn't mean we're exempt from going through storms. It does not mean we are exempt from going through trials and temptations. It does not mean that. But some things that God might not stop just because you believe Him. Because we believe God, we still have to go through some things. Number one, we see that these men were in a storm. They were in a Euroclodon is what it says. And if you ever study that out, that's a cyclone or a hurricane. It wasn't just raining. It wasn't just moving the boat around. Them men was out there going up and down and around. And they was having a heart attack. They was out there tripping. But Paul steps out there and he says, "I believe God. No man is going to lose their life, but I believe God, and you should too." So we all go through storms. I recently went through a storm in my life. I recently went through one. For 3 months I've been going through a storm, and I just come out of it the day before yesterday, praise God. And He was good to me through the whole thing. About 3 months ago, I was riding a four-wheeler, and I was being as careful as I could be, and I was just going down that little path just as easy as I could be, and a stump appeared up out of nowhere, and it flipped me, and it slammed me down and broke my collarbone. But I was acting like a child, and I was flying around on that four-wheeler, and it flipped me, and it slammed me on the ground. And as soon as I got up, I felt it. I said, "Oh, God, please don't let my collarbone be broke." But it was. He didn't fix it. I had to go through that thing. And you know what? Every need was taken care of through that whole thing. My surgery got paid for. My food was provided for me. None of my bills went behind. My insurance didn't lapse. We didn't lose our vehicles. He was good to me through the whole thing, and I thank Him for it. Well, a month after I broke my collarbone and I knew I could go back to work, I worked for Lowe's. I worked for a contractor that delivers for Lowe's is who I worked for. And the company we was working for lost the contract with Lowe's. They lost the contract with Lowe's, so another company come in. And my contractor, my boss, had to turn in all our backgrounds and all our paperwork. And I've been in a lot of trouble in the past before the Lord come by my way. My background does not look good at all. And so I told my boss, I said, "It's not looking good, man. I'll go ahead and tell you, man, I've been in trouble, and I'm probably not going to make it through." And he's all heartbroken about it because he says, "I'm one of the best guys he got. I don't know about that, but I do go to work and I do my job." But But I waited on that for a month, and on Wednesday night I come home from church, and my boss called me, and he said, "Man, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to work for me, man. There's nothing I can do about it." So I sat there and thought about it, and I got a hold of the president of that company, and I just testified. I used my testimony. He sends me a message back, and he said, "I'll review your file." This is a president of a multi-million-dollar company. I'm just a little peon to him, you know? And so he calls me back the next morning, and he's talking to me on the phone, and I tell him everything, and I witness to him again. I testify to him. And he says, "Well, if you can get some letters of recommendation sent in here for some people, then I will let you have your job back." So your pastor, your dear pastor, he's sending a letter for me recommending that they hire me back. He's sending one for me. My pastor's sending one for me. Crossroads Rescue Mission, I'm sure they've been here before, I think so. They sent the director, I'm real good friends with the owner, Brother Rocky Shelton. He sent in a recommendation letter for me. I had two other people sending recommendation letters for me. That president of that company called me back 2 hours later, and he said, "I'm so happy for you. I'm glad that you found the Lord and you found your way in life, and I'm going to let you come back and work for me." And I was in the house, and I was jumping out of bed, and I was just in my underwear, and I was walking through the house, and I was sweating all over, and I was just tickled to death that all worked out for me. But my testimony got me through that thing. It was my testimony. You never know the power of your testimony. It is the most powerful thing that you can have. So you have to guard your testimony with everything. You know, my brother is in the same situation, but he don't have a testimony. He don't have a testimony. And I feel so sorry for him, because I've tried to get him in church and I've tried to get him to do the right thing, and he won't. But I feel so sorry for him, and he's not going to be able to go work with us. If he had a testimony, it'd probably work out for him. But we all have to go through a storm. And the world is spinning 1,000 miles an hour, and it's tilted 22.5 degrees. You know, if you take a quarter and you flip it like this, and then you take your finger and you put your finger on top of it, and it'll stop it. The Lord can do that. He can stop that. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-seeing. I believe when He created this thing, He set the world down, and He spun it and just blowed on it, and there it went. And it started spinning. But there's some things He won't stop. We know that He does have the ability to stop them, but some things He won't. The next thing I want to say is He might not change your situation that you're in. He didn't change Joseph's situation when Joseph was going through all that, but He was right there with him. He gave him favor with the king. He made him ruler over all that land, but Joseph was faithful to him, you see. He walked with him and he talked with him and he didn't sin against him. Whenever that old king's wife tried to get him to sleep with her, he said, "Why would I want to sin against my God? Why would I want to sin against my God?" And God showed him favor, and he walked right through him. He didn't change Daniel's situation in the lion's den, but I tell you what he did do. He troubled that old king's heart. That king didn't sleep all night that night until he went down there and made sure Daniel was all right. It worried him to death. I don't know if them lions wasn't hungry or what it was. I believe the Lord was just right in there with him, is what I believe. I don't believe that they was full, or I don't believe that they was had their mouths taped shut. I believe the Lord was right in there with him. He didn't change them three little Hebrew children situation either. They got thrown in that fiery furnace, and he went right in there with them. Walked around in there with them is what it said. He stayed with them, and he protected them, and he put his arms around them, just like he's probably done a bunch of y'all in y'all's life. He's just put his big loving arms around him. He said, "Draw nigh unto God, and I'll draw nigh unto you." I believe he comes down and sits right down on your lap, and he puts his arms right around you when you're going through that situation. And then there's sometimes you think that you're not getting a prayer through and the Lord's not within 100 miles from you. But I tell you what, the teacher is always silent during the test. The teacher is always silent during the test. But he's there. He's sitting there with you. He might not change your He might not stop the storm. He might not change your situation. And he might not stop the silliness of others. In saying that, I know I'm the only one in here that has a family that are out of church, and they don't go to church, and they're out in sin. I know none of y'all's family is, but anyways, we go to them and we tell them, "Please come to church. Please, please get up here and come to church with me." He told them when them boys over there in verse number 30 and 31, Paul said to the centurion, "The soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." I don't know how many times I've told my brother, like I was just saying, "Please just come to church. Get up here and get right with the Lord. Please," and he goes right back to the same thing. Right back to the same thing. I have family members and friends. I know several lost people because I lived that way for a long time. But I know them. But I love them. And I try to tell them every time I see them, come to church. Come to church. You see what the Lord's done for me. Come to church. Get out of that lifestyle. Oh, I will later. You might not get the chance to. You might not get the chance to make it up there. But the silliness of others, they've got to go through that sometimes in order to get right up here. We can testify to them and tell them all we want to. And sometimes that don't make a hill of beans to them. But when they go through some things and when they hit rock bottom, I know it hurts our feelings and it breaks our hearts when we see them go through those things. And I know when I was going to prison and jail, it broke my family's heart to see me in there. I know it did. But I had to go through those things in order to make it to the house of God and get everything right with Him. He might not stop the silliness of others, but He might not stop your safety from being taken. He said that the ship run up on the rocks and it broke everywhere, and every man was grabbed on the boards and they was hanging on and they was trying to do what they could to fight. You know, we feel like we need a safety net, like we need so much money in the bank. We feel like we need our house paid for, our car paid for, and we're putting all our trust in these worldly things and we're not putting our trust in the Lord. And the Bible says God is a jealous God. He is a jealous God, and He'll take those things from you in order for you to start trusting in Him and leaning on Him. He is a jealous God, and He will do that. He's done that to me several times because I've put too much trust in the things of this world. And I thank Him for it, and I praise Him for what He's done for me. And then He might not stop the speculation of others either. And it says in the next chapter, it says over here, he was standing on that wood pile, and that viper jumps out and bites him. And they look at him and they say, man, he must be evil. He must be evil. But it says when they looked for a great while, they looked at him for a great while and they figured him out. They seen that he was true. I have no doubt in my mind that there's people that I know I used to run around with that are waiting for me to fall any day. They're waiting for me to stumble. That way they can say, I told you so. I know what you're going to do, but I tell you what, I've made up my mind. I believe in amazing grace and that there's power in the blood. And because He walks with me and talks with me, I can live and I can face tomorrow. I have it hanging on my wall at home. My little wife bought that for me. And she hung it up there on the wall. And I believe it with all my heart. And I'm going to take my King James Bible. And no matter what comes my way and no matter what happens, I'm going to tuck it under my arm. And I'm going to preach the Word of God. And I'm going to do what I need to do to get through this old world for me and my family. And I'm going to stand at the gate and I'm going to guard my children. And I'm going to keep them from the things of this world. No matter how bad they get mad at me, they'll sure appreciate me one day. But I'm going to stay on that track and I'm not going to go anywhere. And I'm just going to thank the Lord and praise Him. Even when things are going bad, I'm just going to praise the Lord and just walk right on through that thing. And I just praise Him and thank Him for it, for giving me the strength to do it. And in the last verse of that chapter right there, in verse number 14, I said all that to say this. Verse number 44, it says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass, they all escaped safe to land. One of these days, we're all going to go through those trials and those tribulations. But one of those days, that eastern sky is going to part. And the trumpet's going to sound. And we're going to be out of here. And we're going to be gone. The things of this world will be over. We won't have to worry about it no more. It's only for a little while. And we'll be out of here. And we're going to escape safe to land. And we'll be up there with the one who died for us. The one who hung on that old rugged cross and laid down His life. You know, they say they took Jesus' life, but they didn't. He laid down His life for us. He could have called 10,000 angels to come down there and get Him off that cross, but He didn't. When He was on that cross, we was on His mind the whole time. The whole time. One of these days, we'll be out of here. And I know we're going to go through trials and tribulations, and everything's not always going to be perfect. But the Lord is going to stand right there with you the whole time, just like He done for Joseph over there whenever he was getting stoned. It said he looked up in heaven and he saw Him standing on the right hand of God. He was standing up there looking down on Him. He was right there with Him. He's going to stand there with you, and He's going to walk with you through your trials and your tribulations and your troubles. But I thank You for having me this morning. I hope that maybe I was a help to you. I thank You for all Your kindness and Your generosity, and I look forward to being back here tonight, brother.